We're going to continue along the lines that we began last week on Alpha and Omega. This is a series that we began that will have very far-reaching effects to every one of us. We said, and allow me just to kind of give a brief review, we said that life is composed of beginnings and endings, right? We begin our life in infancy. We continue our life through the different seasons. We go into childhood, into adolescence, into early adulthood, so on and so forth. And it's also full of endings. Some are happy endings, right? Who was ever happy to graduate from high school? Right? And for some of you brave souls, you decided to engage in another think tank, 4 years of it. It took me 6 years. Don't ask me why. I was too busy chasing them blonde girls anyway. Be that as it may, I was footloose and fancy free, people, okay? But anyway, so there are some happy endings, but how many of us know that there are also some sad endings to life? You know, there's divorce, there's the loss of a loved one, there is an estranged relationship. Who has ever had an estranged relationship or a strained relationship? Wow, that's not fun, is it? And there for a while, you know, I had my middle daughter that wouldn't even send me a text on Father's Day, wouldn't even send me a text on Christmas Day. It was a very difficult situation. Suffice it to say that the Lord has restored my relationship with her. And believe me when I tell you that there is nothing that I could have asked for better than that. Right? I mean, this is the stuff of life. So thanks be to God. But there are some sad endings. There are some bad endings. Now, this is the basis of the message, that in the sad endings, in the bad endings, if we are not careful, the Bible describes Satan as a usurper. He likes to usurp his authority over people's lives. We saw last week that his original intent as Lucifer, the light-bearing angel in the heavens, that he wanted to sit above the throne of God. He wanted to sit, listen carefully, on the sides of the north. The sides of the north, Psalm 48 verse 2 tell us that it is Mount Zion. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 22 and 23 tell us, you got to trust me, you can write these down, look them up at a later time. It tells us that it is the church. Mount Zion is the church. So what was Satan saying originally? He said, I want to sit as Lord over the church. Isn't that amazing? How many of you are thankful that Jesus is the head and not the enemy? And even though the enemy could not succeed as being the head of the church, we all know that he will try to individually, listen carefully, sit in our bad endings. He will sit in our abrupt endings. He will sit, say for example, the one thing I love about children is their innocence. Isn't that great? I was walking out of a grocery store the other day, and there was a school next door. And I just love the kids and all that energy. They're swinging, they're running around in the schoolyard, and they're yelling and screaming. And I thought, boy, isn't it to be that young again and to not be jaded? Come on, somebody. And to not be hurt in life, right? I mean, these kids, I mean, their innocence is beautiful. By the same token, church family, who would agree with me? For some people in their childhood, that innocence came to an abrupt and sad ending. Amen. Right? Wow. And this is the way the enemy works. You know, Paul the Apostle wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, we are not unaware of Satan's devices or Satan's schemes. He has schemes up his sleeve. And so, let's say someone was abandoned at a young age. So the enemy's going to begin to fill lies. He'll try to sit in that abrupt ending by saying, you were abandoned because you were not worth keeping. Come on, somebody. Or perhaps a child was not loved the way they should have been loved as a child. He said, then the enemy steps in and begins to fill lies to try to sit in that sad ending and say, you were not loved by those that should have loved you because you were unlovable. See what he does? That rat knows what he's doing. Right? Or let's say someone was abused at a young age, whatever form that abuse took. So the enemy's going to flood in with lies and say, it was something wrong in you that caused your abuser to do what they did to you. Now, if we're not careful, how many of y'all know that we are the most vulnerable at a very young age? Right? Satan will try to plant that seed in the fertile soil of a young heart. And he'll try to do his work. This is what he's trying to do, church family. Listen to me carefully. He is trying to mess with our default settings. Wow. I remember one time talking to a gal that had been married 6 times. She said that all of her husbands were abusers. She said that she was currently, or at the time, was on a dating site. And she said, I said, do you mind? I was just gentle. I said, do you mind my asking why you've been divorced like 6 times and why you're still looking? And just probing. And she said, well, I was abused by my father at a very young age. Sexual abuse. And at that moment, listen carefully, she said, because she's been to a lot of counseling, that Satan, that the enemy, she's a Christian gal, that Satan messed with her default settings. How many of y'all understand what I'm saying by default settings? Who works with computers? Not very many people. For those who do, I'm going to lay a nice revy on your lap right now. You know, what happens when you leave the mouse alone and don't, what happens to the screen? The what? Yeah, it goes to sleep. So don't we all have a screensaver that your computer defaults to? Does that make sense? How many of y'all know that we also have a screensaver in our soul? And that's what Satan wants to mess with. You know, maybe we were innocent as children and life was happy and we loved our parents and our parents loved us and life was good. And so our default system was good until the enemy stepped in and tried to mess with our default system, with our screensaver, the screensaver of our soul. So all of a sudden then, you know, I probed with this gal that had been married. She said, oh, and incidentally, she said, all the 6 husbands I had were abusers. I said, isn't that fascinating? She explained this way to me because she had had it explained to her by a Christian counselor that her idea of love, listen carefully, at a young age was messed up. It was sexual abuse. So somehow she attracted these guys growing up or when she was older, that did the very same thing to her that her father did to her. Isn't that interesting? What happened to her? Satan messed with her screensaver, the screensaver of her soul. Her default system was one of, this is the only way love can be expressed to you. You need to just sit down, shut up, and settle because you, the enemy would tell us or told her, you are damaged goods. Who's ever heard that lie before? Right? And what happened then, the enemy sits in that bad ending and begins a new course for our lives that is destructive, that is harmful, that is not bringing us, listen carefully, to our highest and our best in Jesus. What has the enemy succeeded in doing? He has sat, I think I got the verb tense right, he has sat, right? Past perfect, he has sat, you don't have sitting, he has sat in our bad ending. See where that comes from? All right, are we in Revelation chapter 1? Give you time to get there. Isn't that nice of me? Here we go. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am, this is Jesus speaking, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and was and who is to come. Notice what he did not say, and is often interpreted this way when we read that scripture. I am your Alpha, and at some future point in your life, I will be your Omega. Is that what he said? No, he said, I am at one time Alpha and Omega in your life. Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. Okay? So he begins. Who agrees with me that the work that Jesus begins is in us? It's always a good work for us. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, it is the thief that comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus is on our side. He's not against us. He's here to bring us to our highest and our best in him, right? There's no self-help book or no self-help course that can bring you higher and greater than what Jesus can in our lives. Right? Not a, as they said in the 80s, not PMA, not a positive mental attitude. Yo, baby, Jesus has the best positivity for your life. Cannot improve on his. Okay? So are we ready to look at a litany of scriptures, all right? So notice here, Jesus is the beginning and the end all at one time. And listen carefully, we can allow Jesus to sit in our bad ending, because when we let him sit in our bad ending, he is not only Alpha, the Alpha, he is also the Omega. He immediately can create a new good beginning out of that bad ending. Okay, now we're going to start talking about stuff that's eternity, so buckle your seatbelts. This is going to be pretty loaded stuff. Another scripture, Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. Listen carefully. He says, in the previous verse, he says that he's the God, and he's saying here, he's the God who, he is declaring the end from when? And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall what? And I will do, let's all say will do, all my pleasure. Notice, he is the God who declares the end from when? Isn't he Alpha and Omega? Doesn't he declare the end, how something should end from the very beginning? This back in Texas, as Craig and Ethan will find out, back in Texas this means yes, and this means no. Right? So doesn't Jesus declare the end from the very beginning? He doesn't let the end take its own course, and it will be what it will be. Does Jesus say that? No. He said, this from the very beginning, I want your life to end this way. Amen. Right? Jeremiah 29:11, out of the King James Version. Listen, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of what, church family? Peace. And not of? To give you an what? To give you an expected what? Okay, let's stop and think about that. When did Jesus declare that expected end? At the end of our lives? From the beginning, didn't he? Now listen, church family. Jesus wants us to have a good ending from the very beginning of our lives. Right? And what does that ending look like? I'll quote it out of the NIV. For these are the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts to prosper you. Thoughts to not do you harm. Thoughts to do you good. Thoughts not to do you evil. To prosper you and give you a hope and a future. When did Jesus decree that you were going to have a hope in the future? The very beginning. All right? So let's determine now, when is the beginning for us? When God says, okay. When he made us, very good. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 out of the English Standard Version. Listen. He is the God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own what? Didn't he say in Isaiah 46:10 that his purpose was going to do what? Stand? Right? According, because of his own good purpose and grace, which he gave in us in Christ Jesus before when? Were you alive before the ages began? No. Another translation says before time began. So when did Jesus declare your future for you? Before time began. Didn't he say that that hope and future that he declared for us would stand? Right? It will stand if we let it. Right, church family? Yes. Now, allow me to illustrate it. Last scripture we're going to look at, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I what? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I, notice carefully, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So when does the Lord call us? We know it's before time, but when in our individual lives, when does the Lord determine that we are going to have a good ending, regardless of what happens, that our lives will finish and end with a hope and a future? Before, not while we were in the womb, before we were formed in our mother's womb. Isn't that powerful, church family? Now, why is it important? Why am I communicating this? Because sometimes the bad endings are real as anything else in our lives are. Can I get a witness? But Jesus still has decreed, and his declaration will stand. His purpose will stand for our lives. Let me break it down for our everyday lives. At any moment in bad endings in our lives, we can turn toward Jesus and he'll give us a good beginning. That is his plan. He decreed it before we were born in our mother's wombs. Right? So what does that do to all of these bad endings that might happen throughout our lives? Listen, Jesus' declaration over that Christian lady who had six husbands, Jesus' declaration that she will have a good ending is still intact. Who believes that? Can I get biblical on you? What about the woman at the well? How many husbands did she have? Five. The man she was currently with, was he her husband? She gave up on the institution of holy matrimony. She kept experiencing too much rejection. Right? She gave up on plenty of fish. You didn't know they had that in Samaria, right? But listen, was Jesus' plan for her done away with by all the bad endings of five different bad endings she had received in her life? Jesus was just getting warmed up in her life, wasn't he? Listen, this is a point, church family. Your beginning and your ending in Christ has already been decided, not by us, not by our previous abusers, not by people who did us wrong, who affected us negatively, who affected and tampered with our default settings. Come on, somebody. Not the ones that created, that we allowed Satan to create a bad, what do we say, a screensaver for our souls, but by Jesus Christ himself before we were born. He said, your life will end good. Now the question is, do we believe that or do we believe the bad ending? Are we looking to Jesus to sit as our Omega, as our Alpha and Omega in that bad ending? Or are we just allowing whatever happens in life, and it's going to be que sera, sera. Actually, it should be pronounced que sera, sera. But I'll give you the Americanized version. Que sera, sera. Right? It's not with Jesus, it's not whatever will be. It is, I have decreed it, and it will come about. Last thought. So far, so good, everybody? Last thought. Listen, our very beginning as children was no differently than God's, the Father's, beginning with Jesus. Who remembers when Jesus was baptized? He was beginning his ministry, right? And what happened? The heavens opened as soon as John the Baptist brought Jesus up from the waters of the River Jordan. Right? The heavens opened. What happened to the heavens when the heavens were open? Dove came down. Who was that dove representative of? The Holy Spirit. The sun came up out of the water. The Holy Spirit came down from heaven. And whose voice followed in tow? God's. And what did God say to Jesus? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It happened two more times in Jesus' ministry. Right? Remember when they were out in the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17? And Peter was saying, Lord, it is good that we dwell here, because there is Jesus. You know, Jesus is transformed into this brilliant light. And then there's Moses that appears, and then Elijah appears. And Moses is saying, Lord, I think we should build three different tents for you guys. It's good that we dwell here. And God the Father's voice interrupted him, and he said what? This is what? My beloved Son, hear him. And in John chapter 12, it happens again. This is my beloved Son. Why is the Father continually affirming his own Son as the beloved Son? Why? Because he is the beloved Son. Now, who of you here this morning agrees with me that by virtue of God's adoption of us in Christ, that we are beloved children of God? Right? Do you believe that you are God's beloved son or daughter regardless of what happened to you in your childhood? You can talk to me. Yes, right? Who decreed before time began that we are his beloved children? God did. So listen, I don't care what your beginning was. Maybe you didn't feel loved. Maybe you didn't receive the love you should have from your parents. I know a lot of you guys did, okay? I'm not talking to you. I'm also talking to those listening on radio. All right, and those who would tune in to YouTube. Listen, let me tell you here. God's Omega for your life, God's beginning was, you are my beloved son or daughter. Right? No matter what happened. It's too bad that religion has skewed that understanding, robbed us of that understanding, saying, well, it all depends on your behavior. Really? How many of y'all know that some of our kids did wrong, but we still loved them? And greater yet, nothing they did ever changed the fact that they were our flesh and blood. Right? So why do we think that God's going to disown us because of bad behavior or a bad season or whatever? Well, Pastor Joe, he probably remembers what I did in 1967 with Susie and the... Right, I was at Woodstock with Sister Maggie, and wow, there was all kinds of fellowship happening, but none of it was godly. I'll stop. How many of y'all feel me? Some of you, I know what you're doing. You're going like this, the emoji on Facebook, face palm. Who remembers when your kids were young? If you don't raise your hand, that's going to accuse you of being old. Do you remember when they were asleep? My heart would fill with so much joy and so much love just by watching them sleep in their little rib cage going up and down from them breathing. Why did my heart feel that way? They were my beloved child. Don't you think that just by existing, God draws pleasure from your existence as His beloved child? Listen, that is your beginning in God. That is your beginning in Christ. Amen? But listen, and your future's so bright. He's got a future and a hope set for you. How many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the Word this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love for us. Thank You, God, that You declare the end from the beginning. And that what You declared before time began was that our lives would end good. We would have an expected end. We would have a hope in the future. Prosperity and not harm. Peace and not evil. Thank You, Lord God, for that. Minister, Holy Spirit, to Your people's lives. Soothe and heal hurts. Help us, Jesus, to allow You to sit as our Alpha and our Omega in any situation we find ourselves in. It is in Your precious name we pray. Amen.
This morning, all the kids that are like 13 and under want to come down here and come on over here, please. But don't sit down, because I've got things for you to do. So, come on, Jillian.
Come on.
Come on. Come on, Owen. I have something for you when you're done. That's why I said 13 and under, because I know you big kids would be up here for all the treats. So, okay, all the girls stand here and the boys stand here for just a minute. Hi, Cass. Hi, Owen. Do you bring Grandma with you? Can you stand right here with Cass? Because you're a boy, right? So boys over here and girls over here. Okay, turn around. Okay, all right. So we've separated boys and girls. Now, if you're wearing blue on this side, if you're wearing purple on this side, does that change it up a little bit? It does. You two both have purple too? No, you only have blue. Okay, so Jillian and Lauren over here. Andrea, stay there. Okay, so now... Okay, who has blonde hair? Blonde hair this side. Anything else this side? So Cass, over here.
That's good.
Who has sandals? If you have sandals, stay over here. If you don't have sandals, come over here. Okay, so are we all the same every time? Were we? Are we all boys? Are we all girls? Are we all wearing the same color? Nope. Of course, we chose that today, your mom or dad or somebody, right? Yeah. Mommy chose what you're wearing. I know. Hi, Mommy. Daddy's at work.
My grandma's over there with Dada.
Yeah, that's great. Mimi and Dada are over there. Okay, so God made us unique. Did you know He knew us all about us before we are ever born? Yeah. Okay, so how many of you bark like a dog? I knew somebody would. I knew somebody would. How many of you have really long necks like a giraffe? Anybody have a really long neck like a giraffe? No? Okay, how about really big feet like an elephant? No. Because God didn't make anything the same, not the animals and not us. No? So, you know that God created mankind in His own image, and we're unique, and we are made to create, we are made to be in His image to serve Him, our Master, and to give Him praise all of our days. So, okay, that's what I have for you this morning. Thank you. If you want to come over here, you can have two. Take two, and then you can go sit back down. Thank you for coming up here.
All righty. Here at Locust Grove Church, we take membership seriously. It's very important. And basically it's that next step from being an attender to being an official member. And Cynthia has expressed a desire. Allow me to give you a little bit of a background. When she started coming, when we started dating, and she started driving up at first to be with our church family, she said, "Man, I'm going to start praying for a small church family like yours for the Lord to open it up in Arkansas for me." And I thought, well, I think the Lord had something better, right? Why not just make her a part of our church family? So anyway, this morning, Cynthia, would you come up, please, hon? And I want to lead you in some questions, and I'll lead the congregation as well. Do you commit your time, your talents, and your treasure to this church family? Let me say here before I ask you the questions, but she loves our church, and she loves you guys, and she knows also that you guys love her to no end, and thank you from me, from her, to you for that. Church family, do you commit to support her? You can answer by saying yes.
Yes.
Do you commit to praying for her?
Yes.
Do you commit to taking her shopping? No. Yes. Not on my dime. No, behave, Joe, behave. Do you commit to rallying around her, fellowshipping with her, and including her in whatever activities that we have here?
Yes.
Thank you. Well, upon these membership commitments, exchanges, babe, you are now an official member of Locust Grove Church. Let's give it up for... Thanks, babe. Have a seat.